Flipping heck. The Hammer House of Horror.
I hope you'll be very happy here.
H&H Property Management back for another episode of property management, you know, bungles, real life stuff, hammering nails, wrenching tubes.
There's anything that's our bread and butter, it's hammering nails constantly. That's probably what we do the most in this job. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. You know, we always got to make sure that the nail bucket is filled. Because sometimes, you know, we have some assistants and interns here. And sometimes, you know, that's their job. But you got to keep on top of them to make sure that nail bucket is nice and filled. Because we got stuff to hammer. We got nails to put in pieces of wood, fixtures.
If you're up halfway up a ladder, that's the last thing you want is to run out of nails. It's every morning.
Yeah.
Needs to be filled. Our Craftsman 20-pound weighted hammers.
Yeah.
With the claws on the back. You know, you're just your standard Craftsman handyman hammer.
Totally, yeah.
Obviously.
Look, we're not, you know, we're humble guys, but if you think about it, you know, shelter is, you know, that's one of the main things that people need to survive in this world. So we're basically like surgeons, Dale.
By and large, Chuck, the amount of people that rely upon people like us is quantified uncountably so compared to what surgeons do, basically.
Yeah.
We're basically, if we could be 10 surgeons at once, that's kind of like what...
I tried to run the numbers once and my calculator broke, so you tell me.
Oh my God. No, it's...
This week, we watched an episode of The House That Bled to Death. And oh boy, how about this building? How about this house, Dale? This was a... This would have been a fixer-upper, as we say in the biz, you know? Maybe some good bones under there, maybe not.
Uh-huh. I was potentially licking my lips as maybe a side project.
Yes.
I would have to be interested in it. It's not something, I wouldn't want to tackle that kind of property as my main job.
No, this is labor of love, this one. Yeah. You got to take some time. You know, you got to pick the right materials. You got to have an imagination, you know?
That type of property would have to mean something to you, like your father would have to have murdered your mother.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something like that.
Yeah. And to have, you know, have those weird butcher swords hanging on the wall, you know, some sort of tribute there.
I saw in some of the synopses, they were referred to as machetes. No.
What they were those? Like, does anyone know what those are?
I think if we asked certain folks, they would know. And I want to say, I don't know the pronunciation, but it begins with a K, like curry, curry.
I feel like I've seen them in video games.
I can tell you for a fact that I used to play Final Fantasy XI online, and these weapons used to be in that game. They probably still are in that game. I'm just not in that game anymore. So
there you go.
It's very not of the time. I think, you know, they're more of an Asian flair.
Yeah.
And not.
I don't know. Are you looking it up?
I am. A kukri.
Oh, yeah. I think I've heard of
that. K-U-K-R-I.
Where they
traditionally associated with the Nepali speaking Gurkhas of Nepal. What?
Nepal? Whoa. I mean, that's a whole other episode there of how this old man got these Nepalese curries.
Yeah, in his house. And also the poison probably sourced from the same location.
Oh my God, the poison.
The small amount of poison he used to kill his wife that he hated for probably not no reason known to us.
Even though it looked like it came from like an old-timey pharmacist, you know, in that the folded-up paper, the powder in the folded-up paper.
I thought he was just like going to hit the opium or heroin, you know, just put it in his tea.
I know. It was like, it was 50-50 whether or not he was killing his wife or if he was, you know, giving her medicine or her dose that she needs to survive the next, you know, the next 12 hours or whatever.
Especially since there was no malice in his, and he did it right in front of her.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't until like
he didn't hide in the other room.
He gave a peek at her when she took a sip. He like gave a peek and I was like, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. 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 Wait. This is pretty.
Is it going to work? Is my poison going to work?
Hell, God, I just...
Sickening.
I just tried to poison her. I hope it works and she doesn't half survive the attempt.
Should we let our dear listeners in on what we're talking about, Dale?
The House That Bled to Death is for the majority of the movie, it's, you know, sort of a run-of-the-mill haunted house kind of movie. It gets its origins because an old man kills his wife and then a new family moves in and boy, this house is unhappy with its inhabitants, living or dead, and will do anything to make them leave.
He buried bits of her all over the garden and under the floorboards. Then one day a dog dug something up in the front over there. That was that. When the police arrived, he barricaded himself in the attic.
I mean, you read about things like this, but...
And what I love about the house, it's just a half a double. It's just a house on a street in England. It's not like an old storied mansion.
Yeah.
It was maybe built in the 50s or the 40s.
Yeah.
And it was just like, that's just a house in a neighborhood.
Yeah, totally. Which is
you
like
share a wall.
It makes sense. It's like, wasn't that, what was that famous? I wonder if this was based on that famous house in England there was that haunting. And they recently did one of those Conjuring sequels about it. Is it Conjuring? I can't keep all those movies straight in my head. The one with
I definitely can't.
Well, whatever. I've only seen one of these sequels to those haunted house movies about the couple who like do investigations. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
I do. I know, but I don't know.
But I randomly saw one and they went to England and I knew it was based on like a real life. I mean, I'm doing air quotes, real life haunting of a small house in England. So
starring the Night Owl, right?
What?
Isn't it starring the Owl Man from Watchmen?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. And what's her name? Vera Farmiga? I think it played as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, we're so out of touch.
my blindness for like horror movies from 2000 and up is just immense, Dale.
I'm really just worried about if our new friend Randy Russell listens and is just like either screaming because we don't know, or he's probably like, I don't know either. That's all I care about at this moment.
Yeah. He's the only listener that we are now recording for. Everyone else, he can go kick rocks.
Get lost. Mega twist. Mega twist at the end. After the haunting is complete and the wife and daughter have been properly terrorized, really.
Yeah, like scarred.
It all turns out that it was manufactured by an author and the husband to try to get rich.
Author/real estate agent, I think? Because he was like their real estate agent, right?
Well, yeah, there is some consternation. I did read an essay online about the fact that that whole scene that took place in the beginning didn't need to take place because everybody there were in on it in some way or another.
Yeah. But I mean, I figured they were sort of just play acting just because, so they could say, no, this is what happened. So their stories were straight, you know, they're being uber careful, God. You know?
Sick. Chuck. Jesus.
But yeah, did he go get his real estate license just to buy this house and sell it to these people and then haunt it?
Yes.
And look, great idea, great story, but can we get some flashbacks of this nerd, this real estate author nerd, setting up these haunts? You know? I want to see him creeping in there in the dark and placing the old lady's glasses and teeth around, or setting up the bloody pipe, you know?
This could be a series of sequels starring Vera Farmiga.
Yeah.
And the Night Owl.
Where they trap this, this is like 20 years later, they trap the author in the basement, and they, you know, he's tortured. Yeah. They torture him to get all the secrets out of the hauntings.
The Night Owl's Patrick Rothfuss.
Patrick, we're close. Patrick, that is his name, right? Patrick something or something Patrick. John Patrick?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Nightman. Night Owl Man.
Patrick Bateman. Jason Patrick.
They didn't Night Owl in Watchmen, didn't he have a gut? Wasn't that the whole thing? Like he puts on his suit and he's got a gut. And they didn't do that in the movie, right? Those fucking cowards.
Yeah, and yeah, he's kind of kept his his bod up.
And then
they only tried to make him like look queefier with his comb, like his dumb hairdo and his horn rim glasses.
Yeah, it's like when they like get like a supermodel and put glasses on her, like, oh, she's so ugly. Oh, I'm so ugly. Oh, I'm so awkward and ugly. Don't look at me. That's basically it. It's a big scam, top to bottom. And they even rope some innocent bystanders, and you know the neighbors get involved because they're concerned. They know that the old lady was axed or murdered in here. So they're like, oh, these poor people. They have no idea what happened here. And they start, you know, they're like a number one seeing things that, you know, the strange hauntings, and they're getting freaked out. And they have no idea. Even though at the end the nurse tips the hand. But how could they know? Like, how would you ever come up with this, you know, be like, oh, they're not really married? Like, the nurse is like, we looked them up, and they're not really married. And they were just like, oh, just let them be. They've been through enough. But, like, but why would that even tip you to be like, oh, there's a scam of, you know, some guy wants to write a book and make $1 million and sell the movie rights. Like,
right, it turns out.
How would them
right,
not actually being married tip you off? I don't know.
Right, maybe it's just, yeah. Oh, my God, that's, to go from point A to point solution.
Yeah.
That's kind of absurd, nurse.
Nurse trying to play, what do they call that? Cyber sleuth? She's cyber sleuthing.
Mm-hmm. Part of this, the episode was effective, but the huge trigger warning that they did not include was the absolute massacre of a pet cat.
Oh, yeah.
Which was brutal to witness more than once through fat flashbacks.
Yeah. And you didn't really see it coming. Like, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like the major, that was the huge thing in the episode. It's like, oh God, this house is haunted because now there's it's not just the cat went missing or was clubbed over the head by a pipe.
Yeah.
It was like brutalized.
Yeah.
In a way that a stuffed cat could be.
And the whole setup was like, oh, there was like a piece of like a corner of a window that was broken. So there were like shards and the cat was trying to get through the hole in the window and murked itself, which,
yeah,
gotta say, I mean, cats don't do
cats
that
are
shit.
Smart.
Come on.
Cats don't. Yeah. They know better.
Yeah.
Cats don't murk themselves.
No. I've been watching a lot of TikTok. Like, you can't say like certain words on TikTok, like kill and suicide. So they like,
oh my God,
they come up with really? The weirdest, like, you know, like self-delete, like stuff like that, to get around the algorithm, I guess. I don't know. It's pretty funny.
This episode was at one time quantified as like one of the top 100 scares.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Would you agree with that scene?
No.
No.
Wait, oh, the children's birthday scene, I'm guessing, is the top 100 scares? Yeah. Oh, it was awesome. I mean, top 100 out of what? Were we talking about television or all of media?
I knew you were going to call me on that, butthole. I knew you were going to call me on
it. I don't know. What does that mean?
Okay, here we go.
All right.
I'm going to find it.
Let's hold our feet to the fire. What website is this? Is this bonechiller.net?
Into... In Bonechiller.geocities.scott's blog. In 2003, Channel 4 placed Hammer House of Horror at number 50 in its 100 Scariest Moments show.
So
the clip shown was the children's party scene in The House That Bled to Death.
Okay, so it was like their like an in-house thing by their channel. Like, this, these are the 100 scariest things we've shown on this channel.
Yeah, okay. Right. Which...
All right. Okay, all right. Yeah, I'm sure that totally ranks up there for, you know, that, that certainly narrows the parameters. Moments. Okay, all right. Okay, good for them.
I don't think we've gotten through an episode of Hammer House of Horror yet that hasn't shown a pair of boobs.
Did this one show a pair of boobs?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah.
Oh. When? Whoa, man! I just clipped the meter.
When the neighbor was peeping Tomming
through the. Well, it was like it was a silhouette, right?
Silhouette of a naked woman of two beautiful boobs that I saw through the silhouette.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah, they all. Yeah, that's like the one check marks they gotta hit.
I think we're 5 for 5 on woman's breasts. We are. There's going to be, by the end of these 13 episodes, there's going to be more boobs in this than there is in Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, probably. Yeah. I mean,
and I had to watch 2 years of Tales from the Crypt
to find out, hey, there's not a lot of boobs in these shows, actually. I know. Guys. I got... That's wow. gonna. That's like the one thing we learn. We're gonna be sitting at some comic convention in 20 years. Some young buck's gonna bring up, "Oh, I saw one episode of this Tales from the Crypt. There are boobs in it," and we're gonna like take off our black hood that we've been wearing the whole convention. And say, "Excuse me. Well, I've been down those deep dark roads. I've seen every nook and cranny. Not as many boobs as you would think." And we put our hood back up. So.
But then, like, people standing back in the line further and standing in lines for other tables are all going to be like, "What's that commotion going on? Is that somebody famous? What's going on over there?"
And then
they're all going to be freaking out, like the rumor mill.
And then when we get up to leave, a man in a football jersey will trip us with his foot, and we'll fall on our faces and cry.
Right.
Go, and he laughs. And everyone will laugh. That would be great.
Right. Somehow the tables would have been turned in our own podcast convention that we were invited to, but we ultimately lose still.
Yeah. The guy, one of the hosts from a Barstool sports show, gave us swirlies.
Right. As we're 2 or 3 years out from since recording our last episode of Bat and Spider, but we're still on the circuit.
Yeah. Still living that.
Got nothing. Right.
My God. Grandpa had a podcast once. Man, how did we get here? Okay. So let's talk about that scene then. The 50th scariest scene in ITV history. Or ITV Channel 4? I don't know. So it's a children's birthday party. And boy, the suspense they build up. Because it's like, it's a good 3 minutes of children just sitting around a table eating like cakes and snacks. And just the joy that is filling the room, and you can just feel it. You can feel that something bad is about to happen. They're going to subject these children to something horrible.
especially when it's called The House That Bled to Death.
Yeah.
Like, goddamn, something is going to happen, but they don't let it happen for a good long time.
Oh, yeah. They make us work for it. They make us sweat it out.
And they make us, I'm sorry, but they make us suffer through the mom asking the kids if they're hungry for more jelly. If they're starving for jelly.
And what they mean is Jell-O, because I guess that's what they call it, right?
I was aghast at the amount of Jell-O running around this dining room table.
It was like we were in Salt Lake City, though. The amount of jelly.
Right. What that means?
I know. I have no idea what that for means. Some Salt Lake City Jell-O is. It's like one of their number one foods. They love Jell-O down there. I don't know why. God. It's just a thing. Apparently, I don't know why I know another that. But I do.
TikTok probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So the kids are just slurping down jelly, and it's like a Tim and Eric level of discomfort, because it's just kids eating jelly for 3 minutes.
Yeah. Just let the camera
until
roll.
Until something happens.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
These are not actors. We're just feeding these children up with sweets and jelly. And they're just
It was like
a blast.
Another vignette of American Job.
Exactly.
You know, just kids
just
eating
imagine
jelly
a hard
for minimum
cut
wage.
To the break room, you know.
And then, you know, dad has to go check out the water tank because there's no water, of course, because this house has been betraying them every step of the way.
And God damn, he knew what was going on. He knew there was going to be no water. Dale, he knew it.
I know.
This fake Roger Daltrey getting his hair cut by a Flobee guy. This guy.
He looked like the guy who was Sarah Jessica Parker's boyfriend in Sex and the City. But he's not Mr. Big.
Yeah.
He was like that foreign guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, totally.
I almost called her Jessica Tandy to just continue with the people we know the names of, but we don't know the names
Sarah
of.
Sarah Jessica Tandy.
God, this stupid show. And yeah, so he goes up, and boy, there's a pipe running overhead in the living room. It's painted white to blend in with its ceiling surroundings, and it cracks. It splits open.
I mean,
it hangs directly over the dining room table. It aims itself.
It almost like someone was radio controlling that pipe. It just right over that table.
It starts squirting out human blood.
Just
tons of it,
and it's splashing everywhere, and it's just going all over these children's faces, and everyone's just screaming. It's chaos, Dale.
Yeah,
utter chaos.
Yeah, it's like
real life nightmare coming to life for these children. Just
yeah,
wow.
I mean, everybody is just. It was awful.
It was
awful.
Yeah. And I got to say bravo for them doing this, you know? This is great.
Seriously, like, because they're not going to see any of that money.
You know? The kids?
The kids, yeah, and the parents.
Yeah,
but
no,
the,
they got
but
their...
But that the one dad...
They got their 20 pounds for the day, and...
They're just like, we got to do it.
Yeah. This is...
We got to do it to them.
You know?
If we want to make out on this deal, we have to do it to them.
All those children's real life parents are like the guy in on this scam. He's like, we have to do this. We have to subject our daughter to this.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be worth it. We're going to be able to pay for their education. Okay. How about that, Dale? How about that little boy that was the only boy? I think he was the only boy at the party. And his mom just like all over his ass, Dale. Just like she had her son pegged as a criminal. It's like, this kid, there's nothing good coming out of this kid. You got to keep your eyes on it. I felt so bad for that kid.
Oh, yeah, as soon as they walk through the front door, it's like, they ain't learning nothing nowadays, anyways.
She might as well have told everyone to hide their jewelry, because she brought her five-year-old boy, you know, nightmare.
Like, she's just hoping beyond a hope that he just goes and sits down in that circle with the other ones and starts playing with the tea set, and nothing else happens that day. Because it's one of the 2 days a week that she's got to be home with him, and he's not shipped off to school and somebody else's problem for the majority of the day. Those are the longest. It's like the movie Pitch Black, but your kids are the creatures, and it's always dark on the weekend.
The other, I mean, look, this birthday part, that was, the blood was not the only... thing these children were subjected to. It was also mom's freak out when one of their little girls Sophie's birthday presents was the, say the word again, the murder
jelly,
the word murder weapon.
Oh,
cutter. Oh.
The kukri.
And mom, she sees that kukri in the little in her daughter's hands, and she takes it out on all of those children.
What kind of a sick joke does anyone think they're playing? Which one of you gave Sophie that as a present? Which one of you? Get out of here! Go on, get out! Go on.
I've never been.
Wow.
I've never felt more awkward.
And have you ever seen more of a 180 in emotion in that room when she gets calmed down because the other parents are like, why? No one would. We wouldn't do this on purpose. This can, you know. And she's like, you're right. I'm sorry, children. Everyone come over here and let's keep playing. Keep playing tea. I'm sorry, children. Right. I didn't mean to just lose my mind.
Right.
And start screaming at you like
right.
You're Satan.
As her pant legs are drenched in her own tears. Like, she turned it off and went back to being happy somehow. And she started, like, she might as well just stuck a funnel in those kids' throats and just dumping jelly down into the funnels to get them all fat and happy again. I mean, because that's where we went after that freak out. It's just like, let's forget about let's just what happened. And she's just, like, shoveling cherry jello into these kids.
Oh, God. These kids are going to love the jello coming out of the ceiling pipes in about 5 minutes.
God. Oh, this poor bastards.
God damn it. It was like, Dale, how fooled were you? Like, I mean, there's a lot of tips just in, like, especially early scenes of some of the actors who are in on it, just some of the small facial expressions you're making. There's something that they know that we don't know. So, like, you kind of know it, but they do a really good job of, like, you know, you're pretty much like, okay, this is a haunted house show. You know, I'm watching Hammer House of Horror. I'm not going to expect all this to be fake, you know. Fake,
yeah.
You know, within the show. And when they cut to that pool scene where they're like, where are they? Florida? They cut to Florida, USA, and they're like living it up on the book residuals dime, I guess. I don't know. And they open a letter that the guy sold the rights to movies, and they're gonna get $1 million. $1 million.
Million fat ones.
Yeah.
Even when that happened, because up until that point there was some weirdness, you know, with the conversation with Mr. Bones or whatever his name is, Mr. AJ Powers.
Yeah.
And I just had no idea what that was up until the pool scene.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't even figure out who was in on it after that.
Yeah.
You know, I knew it comes out, but I'm still processing that. Like, the wife knew.
She knew.
Because they weren't.
Yeah, I think she knew. To a point. But she didn't, like, she was also like, I'm going to be scared and I have to just subject myself to this. Like, it's going to be scary. Like, I have to live in this hell house for however amount of time. Right. And I guess it would still be, like, terrifying, right? Like, even if you know it's coming.
You know. It would still be. Oh, sure. After.
Yeah.
You know, after even just the. You're a fucking parent. You know, you have a daughter who is clueless. And you're putting your kid through all that stuff just for, you know, is it. For her. It was worth it. And, you know, she probably was in a desperate situation, but she was blinded by the money, I guess, or the prospect of money. Hopefully there was money there, and it turns out there was, but at what cost? I mean, the poor girl's having nightmares for 3 years after the fact at the end, and there's a lot talked about in the last couple minutes of the episode that is just like, damn, you know, everybody sucks in their own way.
Yeah.
And that poor kid, like, went through it, you know. Yeah. It was very weird, but it got me. I still was sort of processing who knew what by the end.
Yeah, this is more of it's not like a monkey's paw thing, but it's more of like, it feels like more one of those like Tales from the Crypt episode that's just super like, human beings are horrible and they will always do the wrong thing. You know, it has that sort of ending.
Yes, exactly. And it was, you're right, because none of it was in the vein of the previous four episodes of Hammer House of Horror. This was a lot more look into just the human behavior and what they're willing to do.
No supernatural actually happening. This is just like, some skeevy book author real estate agent being in a shithead.
Yeah. So, wow.
But they get their comeuppance because the daughter, she's like, I don't know, she's probably, what, 2 years older she looks like? I don't know. They have a different actress. And she finds the fucking suitcase filled with all the evidence, all the props that were used to destroy her young mind.
Yeah.
She's even reading AJ Powers' book.
I know. I mean, the two parents are so consumed with their money and swimming in the pool and effing every chance they could get.
Yeah.
I mean, your daughter is about to find out.
Yeah. You can find time to fling that suitcase in a McDonald's dumpster.
No.
Come on.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Get rid of the evidence.
Throw it along the highway. It's the late 70s, 1980. I mean, every place in America is a dump.
Yeah.
Just litter.
Just open that up. On the back of your convertible and let everything fly.
Yeah, your big money convertible.
But they didn't do that. Young Sophie finds it, and along with that, she finds one of those. Say it again.
Kukuris.
And she goes into her parents' bedroom post-coital and slashes daddy in the face. We don't really see it, but we do see the spray hit mom's face. In a glorious ending screenshot. And
man.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you for that. Now, does she take it out on mom as well? Or?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I wonder if her anger was, maybe she still had some sympathy for mom. Because it was more of his deal. Because that's not her real dad, right? I got the feeling that was like a boyfriend
that
situation.
That was just a stranger. So. Yeah.
So yeah, maybe she let mom live and she's just like, mommy, now you're scarred.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's just like, remember when my pet was killed?
Yeah.
Well, now slaughtered in front of everyone's eyes.
Ugh. How about that? The when they find the cat, the neighbor lady panicking to find something to cover up the bloody cat and she pulls the only towel in the building, the tablecloth, and
yeah,
everything goes everywhere. It's like,
oh my god,
man, now you gotta
the
clean
camera
that up.
Yeah, the camera remaining on the spilled cereal bowl and everything was just like, man, yeah, you let all that hit the floor. And after you covered your savaged cat with it, why did you try to keep it and wash it and keep it in your suitcase of props?
Yeah.
After that.
How the hell did they get that thing clean?
That goes in the trash, my friend.
Yeah, that is.
Sorry.
No, you bury that with the cat, right? Like that's,
yeah, you should.
It's burial shroud. Instantly.
It is burial shroud. It's Nepalese burial shroud.
Nepalese. Yeah, you should have buried those cokers.
Yeah, absolutely.
God damn it. All right, Dale. Well,
ridiculous.
We're running over time. What are we talking about next week?
Charlie Boy, an ancient African idol possessed by the spirit of an evil sorcerer, seems to take on a life of its own.
Okay. Some post-colonial revenge for those white people. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for joining us. Sorry if we're a little off today. We are recording midday, and maybe just, you know, our energies are off or up, or maybe it's the best show we've ever done because like, my eyelids aren't folded over my fat eyes because I'm tired and I'm skipping sleep to do what I love.
I, for one, am enjoying this energy. So
good.
Yeah.
Good. It's a mess.
Where the hell did you get that?